Christians, confusion, deception, and the election. I feel a responsibility to talk about issues this morning because of a well-respected pastor and theologian's remarks this last week. Here I am. I'm having a few days away visiting my daughter and son-in-law in California, minding my own business, and then what pops up is all this surrounding some remarks, a blog put out by pastor, theologian, John Piper. And I want you to understand my heart today as I talk about some particular issues in response to what it is, because I don't know if you've read it, but I just, and that's okay if you have or you haven't, you can find it easily enough, but I think he's made a serious error, and that's okay because I've made, I'm sure, a lot more than he has. And for those of you who feel like that, I'm this morning maybe preaching politics from the pulpit, and you know my intent is not to endorse anybody. That's not what I can do. Although I will say, it wasn't till Lyndon B. Johnson as a senator in the late 50s. Before that, did you know that a pastor could stand in the pulpit and endorse? You know, throughout history, God's prophets and apostles got up and spoke truth, no matter who it impacted. I got news for you. Jesus did too. So I don't have a problem. If you think that it's wrong of me to say the things that I'm saying to do, first, I want you to know that I love you, and I'll just tell you right now, you vote your conscience. You vote your conscience. But when I feel like that there are people who, in the name of Jesus, or in their own name, as a believer, as a leader in the body of Christ, who comes with a certain perspective that I think is just off the wall and misses it, and just because somebody has written more books than I have, because I have zero, Connie has, through the years, encouraged me to write books, take my sermons and make them a book, and I don't know, maybe one of these days, whatever. But the thing is, it's like the guy who says, well, listen, I watch ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, and I just figure if all these networks favor one candidate over another, that's the one I'm going to vote for. Now, I have problems with that. And somebody actually just said this. He got mad at somebody because they were on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, took a different position. But do you realize what that says about the bias of the media of those four? I'm sorry, if you come to a conclusion, that is not down-the-line objective reporting. I'm going to have to hurry. Anyway, if I offend you this morning, please let me apologize sincerely in advance. But anyway, I was amazed by John Piper's blog saying basically that he's not voting because he does not want to, quote, determine which path of destruction he will support by his vote. He believes Donald Trump's character is just as damaging to this country as Biden's support of abortion. I've taken a summary of John Piper's arguments and offer my humble response to them. He says, number one, the individual sins of a leader can be as harmful to persons and to nations as morally evil laws. I better stick to my notes here because there's just so much that's so wrong with this. His argument fails to recognize the very obvious that people, you and me, if we think a leader, a mayor, a governor, a president, a congressman, a senator, whomever, if they are sinful in what they say and do, we as individuals, we can decide not to imitate that. We can decide to reject that. Oh, That person, that is wrong. And for us, we say, Scripture says this. They're doing, No, that's wrong. We can make that decision. But let me tell you something. You get a leader, and, you know, in our system, the president, and, of course, you understand, the House of Representatives makes laws, okay? So it comes from there. But once laws are passed, yes, you can decide not to obey them. But really, laws are meant to be obeyed. You don't get a choice. Yes, you can choose not to obey the law, but then there's a consequence for that, right? It's not like saying, oh, your actions are sinful. I will not imitate that. A law comes along. You better think long and hard because about the consequences, because you don't have a choice. You either obey the law. Laws are meant to be obeyed. Okay? You cannot do that with laws. But if laws are passed and upheld by the courts, for instance, the LGBT agenda. Now, look, you've heard me say before. Let me just say again. People are free to do whatever they want to do. And did you know God will let them do whatever they want to do? I mean, God will let them. Okay? You can do that. And it used to be that, well, we just want to be free to do what we want to do without laws against us. Okay, well, you've got that now. But they're not satisfied with that. They want to force their beliefs on you. Let me tell you what will happen if laws are passed and upheld by the courts in this. You know, no high school girl, no junior high school girl will ever be free to say, I don't want to change clothes in the girls' locker room because there are boys in there saying that they are girls. They won't have that choice. If you're an artistic type, a florist, a baker, and somebody comes in and says, I want you to design this cake the way I want it that celebrates what you believe to be morally wrong, but I don't care. I want to force that. You'll never be free to say, no, I won't do that. No Christian adoption agency will be free to say, we will not place children with same-sex couples because that's our moral stance. There are plenty of others who will. But see, they don't want to go to those. They want to come to you. They want to attack you. Second point that he makes, and I've got to go through this quickly. Christians communicate. John Piper says, his stance is, Christians communicate a falsehood when we act as if policies and laws are more desirable than being a certain kind of person. Now, I'm going to read to you a quote from what he said in his blog. He says, I find it bewildering that Christians can be so sure that the greater damage will be done by bad judges, bad laws, and bad policies than is being done by the culture-infecting spread of the gangrene of sinful self-exaltation and boasting and strife-stirring. I'm sorry, that's where I am. I am certain that bad laws, bad judges, bad policies are far more deadly to a country. Because again, I can choose not to imitate prideful, boastfulness, arrogance, whatever you want to say. But when laws are passed, that's a different story. In an election, when both candidates have character flaws, and they most certainly do, both of them, then the difference in policies and laws do have primary importance in making a decision. From God's perspective, a person's character is of importance. But a presidential election is not electing a pastor or deciding what's most important of all in life, which is certainly a relationship with Jesus Christ. An election is choosing the leaders of our government to decide what kind of government we will have. Will it be a government by and for the people, or will it be a government that's by and for the people who work in government? Because that's what it amounts to. The establishment that exists in Washington does not want to change. I better move on. The third thing that Piper's blog says is that the sin of pride leads to other sins, including defending abortion. That's such a leap. I can't get there if I were Superman and could fly. Therefore, voting for a clearly boastful candidate might also be indirectly supporting abortion. John, you're smarter than this. Now, what gets me, he then wants to use a passage of Scripture to support what he's saying. And I'll just concede right now, he may know the Bible better than me. But I do know that when he says that he makes this statement and then points to James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. No, James 4, 1, 2 does not show support for his statement that child killing comes from self-absorbed arrogance and boasting. These verses talk about coveting, not boasting, that leads to murder. He says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Moving right along. He says, number four, he says, voting for either candidate would compromise a person's Christian witness. You know what? In this atmosphere of political polarization that we have in our society now, listen, let me tell you something right now. We can enhance our Christian witness. Let me tell you how we can enhance our Christian witness when people are so polarized. We can do that by listening respectfully to the other person's viewpoint and explaining that we seek good government for everyone. I don't see too many people trying to force their agenda on other people, but I see everywhere a lot of groups of people that want to force their agenda upon on the rest of us. Now, I will say, in John Piper's defense, he says this. He concedes that you need not be sinning if you weigh matters differently. Thank you, John. And my way need not be your ways. Okay, great, wonderful. I appreciate that. It's quite a concession. Listen, I learned a long time ago in the theological world, you either learn to understand that people who believe differently than you do, they have reasons why they believe that. Okay? And if you don't open yourself up to try to understand where the other person is coming from, doesn't mean you have to agree, but you legitimately want to say, "How? Okay, you're seeing Scripture differently than I am, or you're looking at it this way. I want to understand where you're coming from." If you don't do that, then you will confine yourself to a very tiny circle of fellowship. I try to take the pathway of understanding, but in John's case here, I just do not agree. There's nothing outside of him saying you're not sinning if you choose to vote. Because that's what he says. I don't think we can easily judge a person's character. And this is what he's done. He's said that one person, his character is just unworthy of a vote. And it really doesn't say anything about except that the other person is for abortion. By the way, John says he doesn't have a TV. My guess, I'm just totally guessing, I'm guessing he's probably an NPR person. Anyway, that's just my guess. John, feel free to write me and correct me. I don't think we can easily judge a person's character except by what they do, less by what they say. Because I got news for you. I've been alive almost 60 years, and most politicians that I've ever come across, they just lie to get elected. They just say whatever they think they need to say. I'm not happy with any of them. Jesus said, therefore you will know them, by their fruits you will know them, their production, what they do. He didn't say by what they say, by what they do. You know, Jesus told this story that I think fits here. He says in Matthew 21, Jesus is telling this. This is verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. The son looked at his dad and said, I will not. But later, he changed his mind and did what his father said. He went to work in the vineyard. The father went to the other son and said the same thing. Go work in my vineyard. He said, oh, yes, sir, I will right away. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The religious leaders, the establishment of Jerusalem. It's who Jesus is talking to here. The first they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you that the chumps and the deplorable... No, I'm sorry, that's not right. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. Jesus illustrates here that what you do matters more than what you say. The second son only wanted his father to think he had good character by saying the right things, even though behind what he was saying, he had no intention of doing it, and he didn't. And he said it in a respectful way, I will go, sir. But it's his actions that matter. You know, again, I've been frustrated by politics since I could first vote. They say one thing and do something else. But here's the thing that I've noticed for more than 40 years, and probably before that, I can only go back as far as I've lived. But people in the country, at least where I've lived, have complained about politicians saying, well, why can't we just have a regular guy with common sense like us in office? But now stop and think with me. As good as that sounds, hear me carefully. A regular guy like you and me with common sense. Oh, yeah, let's vote them into office for whatever office it may be. But if you expect a regular guy like us to be set up, trapped by our words, by set up questions and so forth, to speak like a polished politician, how does that happen? How do you have a regular person who talks like a polished politician? It doesn't work. It's just going to talk like you and I talk. And when somebody has a set up question, we may stumble with it. We may say the wrong thing, or we just may say, you know, you're biased, I'm not answering the question, whatever. And because we don't walk and talk like the establishment in Washington, we would be criticized. I don't know about that. Listen, politicians and the bureaucracy like the way things have always been, to enrich themselves. You would be shocked what the average bureaucrat that works at any of the agencies, just a low-level person, what they make per year. Washington, D.C. and the surrounding counties of Maryland, in Maryland, Virginia, that all butt up against where all these people live, they are some of the wealthiest counties in the United States. And what do they produce? What do they make? Nothing. It's the bureaucracy. Let me give you a glimpse of, because the bureaucracies have always been the same. I've maintained that there's a bureaucratic spirit. Nice people, they get into certain context, and they just, what happened to you? In the midst of that, outside of that, you're wonderful. You get in this, and what happens to you? This has not changed from ancient times till today. The bureaucracy, the establishment in Washington and in Jerusalem have similarities. Jesus, he raises Lazarus from the dead, right? And he does this, and there's a lot of people who witness this. Let's look at the establishment's response to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11, then the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council, bureaucrats meeting together, and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we leave him alone, if we leave him alone like this, everyone's going to believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Notice what comes first. They're concerned about their own place. Nothing's changed. Anyway, let's get back to John Piper. He says flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality, facetiousness, I can't pronounce that word, are self-incriminating, but also because they are nation-corrupting. They move out from the centers of influence to affect the whole culture. The last 5 years bear vivid witness to this infection at almost every level of society. I'm sorry, have you been hiding somewhere? Because this has been going on a long time, and it didn't start with Donald Trump. This, and besides, this laundry list of claims that Piper mentions here, he doesn't back up in any way, shape, or form. He just puts it out there. It's a fact. Piper and many others seem to believe the media. They don't like the way that people talk to the establishment, which includes the media. And they don't, they, you know, just because they're rough and gruff back to them, even though there are a lot of people who are very critical. If they don't like some bill somebody sponsored, I mean, you ought to see these people attack one another on the other side, each side of the aisle. It's you know, it's been going on for a long time. It's just 5 years. Good Lord. But I want you to stop and think with me. I'm going to blow some of you away. I want you to listen to the way Jesus talked to the establishment of his day. You ready? Read fast. Here we go. Matthew 23, but woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. You hear what Jesus is saying to these people? Well, that's not very nice. What happened to nice, meek Jesus walking through the lily fields and picking flowers and smelling them and just saying peace and love like he's some kind of a reject hippie 60s person, you know? You don't know Jesus because you don't read the Bible. Look what he's saying to these people. He goes on to say, woe to you, verse 16, blind guides. You're supposed to be, follow us, we're leaders. You're blind, he says. You're blind guides. Whoever swears by the temple, is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it. He says, fools. Look what he's calling them, fools. You're empty-headed, stupid people. That's what the word fools means. And blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Go to chapter 15. Then his disciples, in another instance, when Jesus is railing away against people in the establishment, disciples came to him and asked, Jesus, don't you realize you offended the establishment, these people, the Pharisees, by what you just said? Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. Not my words. These are Jesus. They are blind guides leading the blind. In other words, everybody who's following them, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. I got several things here I could talk to you about. Maybe I ought to make these available. You realize that Congress set up what we would call a slush fund to pay off sexual harassment claims against them using our money? Using our money. As if you're so important that you can do sick things to people, and when they use the laws to come against you, then you want to pay them off. I tell you what. The establishment in Washington needs a righteous cleansing. Jesus went on to say, Matthew 20, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, they passed the Affordable Care Act for you and me. Did you know they exempted themselves? I think we ought to have a constitutional amendment that says that Congress can pass no laws that do not apply to them. Amen. Jesus is not done. He gets mad now. 23. He says, snakes. You're snakes. Sons of vipers. How will you escape the judgment of hell? Here are a few other things Jesus says. He do not give dogs what is holy. Dogs. He called people dogs. And do not throw your pearls before pigs. He called people pigs. Lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. He goes on to say in Luke 12, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? Oh, can't we just all get along? Why can't we work with the other side of the aisle? Because the other side of the aisle wants to destroy the United States of America. No, I tell you. Jesus says, no, I didn't come to bring peace, not division. He says, I have come to bring division. He says in another instance, he's using a parable about people rejecting him. He says, bring here, he's telling a story, and in the story, illustrative of the kingdom of heaven, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me, right here in front of me. And when he said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Why do you think the scripture says, right after this, why does it have to say he continued going on up ahead to Jerusalem? Because there's a connection. He's telling these people what's going to happen to them. He goes on to say in John 8, but you have not known him. Speaking to the establishment again, speaking about God the Father. You have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you are. But I know him and keep his word. He goes on to say, you, establishment people, Jerusalem, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now look, these are just a few verses. And man, you don't want to go and search anymore and see what Old Testament prophets said when they spoke to the establishments of their day. You don't want to look and see what the apostles themselves said about the establishment, because they would often express themselves in cringeworthy ways. That's so unkind. That's not nice. I didn't read anything here that anybody's going to look at and say, Jesus, you speak so nice and eloquently to these people, so politely, because he didn't. In fact, his disciples, his followers got a little concerned. Don't you know these people were offended by what you just said? Do you know what was said about Jesus in Jerusalem? Did you know the establishment then? Again, they couldn't trap him in his words. They couldn't deal with him theologically. In other words, we would say it today in our present context with policy. But they made him out to be illegitimate, a blasphemous lawbreaker. They said he had a demon. He was insane. He wasn't fit. And people believe the media reports. Jesus is destroying Jerusalem, the establishment, and so we've got to kill him. I'm telling you, bureaucracies don't change through the years. The pressure was so intense that Nicodemus, who was a part of the establishment of the day, but he had come to faith in Jesus Christ. He had to come and see Jesus. He visited Jesus at night because he did not want anybody to know what he was doing. Most people caved to the political pressure of the day, including the Jewish leaders. They were concerned that if Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't want him to be the Messiah, but if he was the Messiah, they didn't want him because they thought they would lose their place. And Pilate was just fearful. Oh, we're going to report you to Caesar if you don't go with us. Listen, let me just wrap this up because it's time. I believe in upholding our Constitution. Sorry, I'm an American. I believe in upholding our Constitution. And with that still said, I'm still a priority issue voter. The issue of abortion is still paramount. Everybody here knows I love babies. And to think that you can butcher a baby in the womb. You understand what partial birth abortion is? Everything but the head is delivered. And before that, or sometimes just the head coming out before the body is, depending on if it's breech or whatever, which way they're going. They're usually the head first. You got kids here. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just... You drill a hole in the back of that baby's head and suck its brains out. And there are people who want to defend this kind of stuff. God have mercy. God, have mercy on us. I don't like the way our president speaks at times. But I judge him by his fruit. He's a supporter of people of faith like you and me. And he defends babies. I believe we're in a time when everything is being shaken up. Romans chapter 12 talks about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that's what's happening. And I think we can all agree that God is on the throne no matter who the president is. Okay? So no matter what happens on Tuesday or the days following, whatever, I'm not going to panic no matter who's elected. Because my trust is in, my eyes are on the Lord. And I'm praying for righteousness to prevail. God's righteousness and justice to prevail in our land. That people might be healed. People who stand and vote against their own interest. Well, I'm sorry, okay, you can do that. Go for it. Vote your conscience. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, your kingdom come. Amen. Your will be done. Yes. Let your righteousness prevail in every state in our nation. And be merciful and bless our country. Let revival come. As people turn to you, Lord, help us to be salt and light. Amen. To not argue the politics, but to present Jesus. And I believe that we can do that, even with people who disagree with us politically. That when people come to this knowledge of the truth, Lord, that Lord, their perspective changes. And the establishment knows this. And that's why we're in the crosshairs. The Lord Jesus was his whole life. If they did it to him, the master, they will do it to us, the followers. Lord, you've already warned us. So, Lord, we take the steps that we need to take to be people of prayer, to know the word, and to be lovingly salt and light, to stand for truth, to speak the truth, but do it in a way that is inviting and not just turn or burn. Lord, help us to grow in wisdom. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you next time.